I would like to move to our next item, which is a report from our State Water Resource Control Board liaison, Mr. Moore. So thank you and welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm Steve Moore, State Water Board member and liaison to the Central Coast region. And I just want to pause and reflect on how impressive those reports were and how you've touched on a lot of areas that are priority areas for the State Water Board, which I don't have to go into great detail because you already have. It's quite impressive, the activities of the board members here. And I want to thank you for your active participation in all these important areas, whether it's SGMA, safe drinking water for DACs, green streets, stormwater capture for agricultural and municipal use, and the list goes on. So thank you for being our partner in these important progressive areas for water sustainability in our state. Thanks for mentioning and participating in Water Quality Coordinating Committee this year. I think from our perspective, we read in the evaluations, you know, that it was appreciated engaging regional board members more in the program. And I found that personally satisfying, too, as a former regional board member for 4 years myself. So today I'm not going to go into quite the grisly detail I often do. We have a pretty big meeting today, but a lot has been going on, a lot of Bay Delta related issues that the State Water Board members are spending time on, which I won't go into detail over. But we touched on some of the funding issues, and that's a big part of our function in our state in terms of grant funding and loan funding. It might be interesting to you that the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, which we get capitalization grants from the federal government to keep going, but then it sustains itself through interest payments and that sort of thing. We did our annual review of the program, an intended use plan, and we've reached kind of a tipping point, if you will, in the clean water SRF. We're not quite there yet in the drinking water SRF. This tipping point is we've run out of cash. It's been so popular and effective that we don't have cash on hand to loan. Part of that was changing terms from 20-year term loans to 30-year term loans a few years ago. Also very favorable interest rate at 1.7%. And since 1989, we've issued about $9 billion in loans for different infrastructure. It varies year to year, but there's treatment plants, collection systems, tend to dominate, but there's a lot of examples year to year. So that's $9 billion since the beginning of the program. Last year, we issued financing at a cut rate of 1% for recycled water on the order of $900 million. So what's interesting is that over the whole life of the program, this initiative that we did to spearhead drought resiliency a couple of years ago was 10% of the overall fund we've ever loaned to anybody. 10% we put toward recycled water planning and construction. So at this point, we have authorized staff to go out onto the bond market, and I'm not sure if you remember, but in April we did issue $500 million in bonds, and they were swiped up in an hour or so. Because of the great demand for green bonds or socially responsible investment. And so we see a lot of promise. We may end up leveraging the program on the order of $2.2 billion over the next year because of just the promise of infrastructure investment and how it feeds back to our economy. So stay tuned on that, but that's the place we find ourselves. We need cash. And because of our AAA rating, we can leverage to a certain point. And Christopher Stevens of our staff has really been skillful in managing this. He deserves a lot of credit, as is Ann Hartridge and other staff. Interestingly, the drinking water SRF program, which we inherited through the transfer of the drinking water program to State Water Board, it hasn't reached that tipping point yet. There's still a lot of opportunity there to get low-interest loans. And, you know, maybe in a couple of years we may reach a tipping point. But for now, everybody out there, we strongly encourage you to take advantage of these financing mechanisms. So recently I want to acknowledge your staff, Lisa McCann, introduced me to folks working for many of your cities. The name of the company is Second Nature. They develop tools for quantifying the effects of BMPs according to sub-watersheds in municipal areas. And this tool can be applied in any watershed setting. And it's very user-friendly. And so I got those folks together with our state board staff in the Phase 2 municipal MPDS permit just so that they're aware of these tools that are out there. I'm real impressed with them from a technical side because it relates to one of my favorite initiatives statewide, which was in Lake Tahoe. This is where this company kind of cut their teeth, if you will, on trying to connect, you know, improvement in lake clarity at Lake Tahoe with implementation of BMPs and giving a quantitative credit on the basis of fine particle sediment. So they call it the Lake Clarity Crediting Program. And so it's something I've always been interested in, creating a currency for infrastructure that gets a water quality benefit and having that water quality quantification. So I want to highlight that this company is working here in your region for many of your cities, and the tools are very visual. They use maps and color coding and prioritization that's pretty easy to follow. So with the backdrop of the Supreme Court decision that was adverse to our program in terms of the concern about state unfunded mandates, tools like this make the problem definition and solutions much more accessible, I think, to city governments, so that we can chart a path to say, this is an infrastructure investment, you need to do it anyway. You're going to have all these multiple benefits. Your urban areas are going to be improved, water quality improves, and in many places you'll get groundwater recharge and water supply reliability benefits. And so to make the case, in light of the concern about unfunded mandates, that these are good investments irrespective of whether the state requires it or not. And so tools like this, I think, help make this graspable, understandable to city managers. So upcoming issues, I'm sure you're aware of the East San Joaquin petition order. It relates to your agricultural order deliberations as you endeavor to update the five-year mark. And this relates to a general discussion we're having at the chair's meetings and somewhat at WQCC. Maybe next year we can queue this up as an item, but the issue of statewide policies or statewide general permits or these petition orders have a statewide significance, and in many cases they are precedential. In fact, the default is if a state issues a petition order, it is precedential unless the state board specifies specific portions that are not. So it's a default precedential decision. So we're going through right now a draft, a preliminary draft of it'll be our second revision to a draft order on that petition order. And we anticipate having a workshop in March, on March 21st, 2017 is currently scheduled to have the East San Joaquin Agricultural Order workshop and proposed resolution and adoption in May 16th, next year, 2017. So I encourage your staff and you to stay plugged in to those deliberations at the state level as they may or may not apply to your deliberations on the ag order. But the general topic of general permits is worth continually discussing because we acknowledge that the regional boards provide leadership in figuring out the mechanisms, the details, the nuts and bolts of permits that are general orders in their regions to solve a problem and create efficiency at the regional level. The state has an obligation, I think, to provide some leadership where there are similar issues that cross regional boundaries, that we would take lessons learned, templates, model language from regions and bring it to a statewide level so that not every region has to reinvent the wheel. And so we did this with many things in the last 4 years since I've been on the board. The compost general order, composting operations, which your staff helped out a lot with. Region 5 did an aquifer storage and recovery permit that we just adopted right from regional board staff. We did the general water recycling requirements in June this year to try to streamline especially agricultural use, not just landscape use of recycled water. And so there are many examples. The drinking water systems have to have periodic discharges because they superchlorinate and then disinfect their lines. That has to go somewhere. So we adopted a general permit for that. Where many regions had different approaches, we played the role of consolidating that and moving forward with the general order. And it's not always easy because regions become invested in their way of doing things. And sometimes when we take it to the state level, there's little differences. In the end, I do believe in if we're going to, as a water board system, have greater efficiency overall, we should migrate toward a statewide order approach with regional board implementation and enrollment and oversight and enforcement. This will be a continual struggle. But in the end, these tools emerge. They benefit the whole. And I always try to acknowledge that it's the regional board leadership that leads to the development of these tools. At the statewide level, in our in-house, that's not our strength. And so we rely heavily on regional board expertise. Upcoming this next week, we got a lot of assistance from regional board staff in the climate change resolution. This is interesting because I read the draft, and it's a quantum level compared to the 2007 order. It was a three-pager that we're updating. This is more like 12 or 13 pages, and it really gets into some detail about specific divisions within the state board and what we do with climate adaptation or mitigation and how the regional boards fit in. And so this will be a good milestone to reach this year in terms of, with Fran Spivey Weber moving on and retiring, she was our climate change champion, and so this is a nice parting product in her honor, but she helped provide a lot of leadership on that, and we'll be taking up next week. Sorry for not going into great detail about how we do climate change adaptation. I think we can save that for another day. We are going to have our hearing on 123 trichloropropane for an MCL in February. And this week we released the permanent water conservation regulation proposal that we developed with the Department of Water Resources and PUC and other state agencies. And so it's on the street. And on our, there's a link on our home page to look at that draft. It's known as the Permanent Conservation Regulations for Urban Water Reporting and Prohibitions of Wasteful Water Use Practices. We're also going to be updating the discharges of dredge and fill material policy. We had a workshop last summer. And we're looking at February to release for public comment and hopefully, and then have a workshop that same month and then hopefully adoption by the summer. With respect to general orders, we're, as a result of all the legislation with on cannabis cultivation and getting Department of Food and Agriculture involved, this is one of those moving from regional general orders to statewide general order is proposed this coming year. And regions like yours can benefit from not having invested yet in a general order specific in this region on that. But we certainly are building on the Region 1 and Region 5 orders. There's an ongoing discussion, and I'll be the first to admit I don't know the right answer on this one. And I'm listening, but we are working on a statewide general order for wineries There's already a regional order in Region 1, North Coast, and Region 2, San Francisco Bay, is working on one. And so this is an area where we need to make sure that we're not pulling the issue in many different directions and unduly confusing business interests in our state. So we're going to continue to work hard to coordinate on that. Okay. And I wanted to highlight on the stormwater front, there's been some good news as far as the Prop 1 program. Several entities qualified and received planning grants for stormwater resource plans. This is important. It relates to those technical tools I mentioned earlier in terms of designing a long-term stormwater program that is designed to meet water quality standards over time. And you can use tools like the one that we talked about to justify these expenditures. And so these plans are needed. And as we've discussed, you know, the revenue deficit on stormwater as a utility, it has hampered ability, especially small and medium-sized cities, to do the necessary planning to really cost out what the implementation would ultimately look like. And so about $9.5 million was granted around August, and including the city of Arroyo Grande, who was representing the five cities in that area with a stormwater resource plan, and then another was the stormwater resource plan for the Greater Monterey County IRWM, Monterey Peninsula Region Stormwater Resource Plan, and Santa Barbara Countywide Integrated Stormwater Resource Plan. And so those were some planning grants. But also, we're moving fast. We try to, you know, it's a friendly competition up in Sacramento on who can get the Prop 1 money out first. So we think we're moving pretty quickly. We got Santa Maria has been granted $850,000 for the Main Street Subwatershed Improvement Project. And the Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Agency, in partnership with the City of Salinas, has a $25 million project, of which we granted $10 million. And so we're excited about that. There's also an ASBS-related stormwater resource plan in Pacific Grove, an area of special biological significance. So that grant is $4.5 million. So it's $200 million. It doesn't go too far, but here and there these demonstrations will show, we hope, all the multiple benefits of these investments and hope that the cities see, you know, notwithstanding the concern about statewide mandates, that the state is actually standing ready and making funding as available as we can to move these things forward. And then in the long run, the theory is the life cycle costs are lower for this type of storm drainage approach, and the benefits outweigh the cost in the long run. So with that, I think I'm sure there's tons of other things we could talk about, but I just thought I'd bring those things to you today, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. It's always a pleasure to see you, and I appreciate your reports. I have a quick question on the SURF funding. Do you know, in terms of the reclaimed water funding, where projects have been awarded? I assume this is all construction money and not planning money. Is that correct? It's construction funding, or some of it planning funding that potentially will lead to construction of facilities?
Yeah, there was, I think the planning was focused more in the Prop 1 side of the house, if I could be wrong. The SRF is typically more of a construction related, and it's fairly widespread. It's hard for me to quite put my finger on it, but it's not dominated by Los Angeles or anything like that. We're seeing recycled water being funded in places often where agricultural needs were spearheading it because of the drought. So we see areas like up Patterson and Sacramento looking at doing pipeline projects to agricultural use.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And then do you know where they are in the construction process? Is it just sort of 10% construction, 20%, or Do you know what the time horizon is on most of those facilities? I know I'm asking detailed questions.
Yeah, no, these are great questions, and I don't have a lot of detail to answer that, but they're definitely in the pipeline, and you know, I would conceivably see these things built in the next 5 years. And it's very diverse. You have areas that haven't really tapped into their potential yet. So, you know, we know our Orange Counties, San Diego's moving forward with their potable reuse projects, and but places like the Russian River are just getting into the game, and we've funded issues there and our projects there. So I've seen the list. It's been several months since I've looked at it, but I was always impressed with the geographic diversity. It's something I always press staff for to make sure that we're touching all the state.
Thank you very much.
Look at my left and my right. So I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you. And
also I thank, circling back to your contributions to WQCC, to the joint meeting of all the regions and state board, you know, one of the items that was also highlighted was reaching out to constituents. So your observation about the engagement of my fellow board members, you know, in reaching out as a liaison between our staff and the regulated community and the stakeholders, I think was highlighted as being strongly encouraged. So appreciate that you noticed those efforts.
Absolutely, and certainly appreciate it. It's a critical element, and I think you all provide a great example for other regions.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.